Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a donation online at loe.org or call me at 617-629-3638. And thanks.
It's an encore edition of Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Graffiti is typically found on subway cars and the walls, bridges, and sidewalks of inner cities. But far from urban canyons, you'll also find graffiti in the remote canyons of New Mexico. At Bandelier National Monument in New Mexico, vandals have been desecrating the ancient cliff dwellings. And cleaning up the graffiti has created a conundrum: how to do it in a culturally appropriate way. Jim Williams from public radio station KUNM has our story.
Larry Humetua steps out of his old stone building office with a couple of buckets. He's about to head up the canyon trail here in New Mexico's Bandelier National Monument to deal with graffiti park visitors have left on some of the 800-year-old cliff dwellings.
We have to bring out our fill material, which consists of a couple of different clays, some red tuff, gray tuff, trail sand, tools we call micro spatulas.
Humetua is on the restoration team for Vanishing Treasures, a National Park Service program that has, since the late 1990s, provided extra funding and expertise to help protect and stabilize ancient archaeological sites at national parks and monuments across the Southwest. The program's been called a last defense against losing sites like these, and there's plenty of defending to do. In the case of Bandelier's graffiti, up to a quarter of the 1,100 ancestral Pueblo sites here have now been vandalized by visitors. Humetua is from Santo Domingo Pueblo, a reservation about 40 miles to the south of here. It's likely his ancestors built these ancient dwellings.
You know, it's very important. I do feel that connection, you know.
Frijoles Creek runs through a beautiful forest of old ponderosa pine, Douglas fir, and gamble oak along the canyon bottom here in Bandelier. Through the trees on either side, the sun shines on cliff walls that rise hundreds of feet into the air. They're filled with ancestral dwellings used by generations of American Indians. Humetua glances up at them.
Every time I, you know, drive down the hill, you know, it's a special place, and knowing that my ancestors lived here and played here and worked here and made pots and textiles here. You know, I try to stay positive while I'm working. You know, basically what we're always told to do, you know, just stay positive. Respect the place and the people that lived here.
On the way up the trail toward the cliffs, we pass a sign that states clearly it's illegal to deface cave dwellings.
Yeah, I think they need to, I don't know, put more signs in different languages. I don't know, they just seem to ignore them. Even way down there where we're working at, there's signs, you know, right in front of you.
We climb the ladder made out of small logs up into one of the cave aids, a round room about 8 feet high and 15 feet deep, carved into the compressed volcanic ash, or tuff, of the cliff wall.
We probably started, you know, C, ended up O over here.
Humetua waves his hand across where someone had carved the name of an old Spanish conquistador, Coronado. In another spot, a visitor had written his own name, Leonardo. That one was difficult to cover because it sprawled across the wall. But if Humetua wasn't pointing at it, no one would ever know it had been there.
You can tell that Leonardo was up there once, but I don't see no new graffiti, so it's working.
That's clearly important to Humetua because he takes the graffiti personally.
To me, it's like coming into my house and carving your name on my wall. You know, that's how I feel. That these are disrespectful. I wouldn't go into anybody's house and carve my name into their wall.
For the restoration, the process of color and texture matching is meticulous. Tuff mixed with trail sand, lime, ionized water, and pigment. The mix and the application have to be rough textured to match the way the walls are naturally eroding.
Yeah, you don't want to add too much water because it's just going to get too watery and...
Humetua sprays water over the graffiti to moisten the wall so the material will stick to it. The mix is then carefully applied by spatula over the carved graffiti.
I'll slide down.
I'm going to go before you, okay?
The graffiti in this cave is so severe. Before it was treated, it was so severe that there was basically little to no original material left.
That's Connor McMahon, Humetua's restoration partner. This cave 8, about 300 feet down the cliff from the other, originally had a black ceiling created by centuries of smoke from burning wood in it. It has, over time, become a chalkboard of sorts for people to carve their own messages, initials, names, profanity. McMahon says that here, he and Humetua had to break from their traditional method of just covering over individual graffiti markings. As many as four times a year in the hot, high desert sun, they have to re-soot the whole thing.
So basically what we do is we come in here with small pieces of highly resinous wood, essentially fire starters, kindling. We close the cave 8, we come in here with full respirators, and we light these pieces of wood and re-smoke the entire upper half of the kiva.
This room, and many others like it here, were sacred places for generations, and to their descendants, they still are.
Their perspective on sites like this are that these sites are still occupied by their ancestors, that life is very cyclical.
Lauren Meyer is an architectural conservator with the Vanishing Treasures program at Bandelier. She says the program has consulted with the current Pueblo people in the area, including Larry Humetua, to make sure restoration is done correctly.
You know, their ancestors live on in these sites, and these sites, you know, are supposed to erode naturally. It's all about coming from the earth and going back to the earth. And Larry brings that perspective to us, which helps inform our decisions about treating these sites.
About $25,000 a year is dedicated to treating these sites at Bandelier. Lauren Meyer and other preservation advocates say that's barely enough to continually treat them and educate the public about their cultural history. The Vanishing Treasures program focuses almost exclusively on Southwest parks, where many ancient cultural sites exist. But other national parks and monuments around the country have little funding for restoration programs. One former parks director called the lack of funding an undeniable crisis in care, and it's sure to affect historical parks around the country for years to come. For Living on Earth, I'm Jim Williams in Bandelier National Monument in New Mexico.